We continue our series this morning, The Higher Life, and we talked about your alignment from on high, getting in line with God and having joy regardless of circumstances. Last week we talked about your assignment from on high, and we talked about the Great Commission, where you'd go into all the world and preach the gospel, and we talked about the importance, and we commissioned this body last week, didn't we? To go and to tell other people about Jesus, and what a great crowd we have this morning. This morning, it's your allotment from on high. I will be using more scriptures than I normally use. I'm an expository preacher, so a lot of times I'll take two or three verses and I'll expound on those, but this is a little bit different this morning. I have a lot to give you, and if we don't get to it all today, we'll finish it next week, okay? Your allotment from on high. Job 31, verse 2, and many of you know the story of Job, and you know that he was a righteous man from the land of Uz, and he had it all, and he lost it all. But then God paid him back double. His descendants, his wealth, his health, and the Satan attacked Job and tempted him, but God restored him. And the thing that we can learn about, the simple truth is that sometimes the transition is I'm going through hell, but God's in it. Amen? And sometimes when you're going through hell, God's in it. But Job 31 verse 2 says this, "For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high?" Job asked a question that many of us have asked, that I myself have asked, that I bet many of you have asked, and it's a question that we can all relate to. Job says, "What is in it for me? What is in it for me?" And if you say, "Pastor Ronnie, I'm too spiritual, I'd never ask God that," I think you're a liar, and so you're not spiritual. Because there are times in all of our lives where we serve and we work, whether it's in business or whether it's just living for Jesus, and we get to a certain place of frustration, and we see all these other people getting blessed beyond belief around us, and there's a time where frustration sets in and we say, "You know, what do I get out of this? What do I get out of this? Everybody else has got something. Everybody else has got their miracle. What about me?" So I'm going to try to answer that for you. Your allotment from on high. The disciples asked this same question. Mark 10, verse 28, then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all. We've left it all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left a house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive." There's no one that's left it all who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. He goes on to say, "With persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life." Psalm 37, 4 says this. And I believe God gives us the desires of our heart, don't you? It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." You see, it's not selfish to sometimes ask God, "God, where would you have me to go? Lord, where can I get in the zone?" You know, an athlete, when they're on fire on the basketball court and they're making everything, I don't know what happened to LeBron a few weeks ago, but he's forgotten how to be on fire, amen. The Celtics took it to them. But when an athlete is on fire, they're making everything. I can remember I grew up during Michael Jordan. See, y'all think LeBron's good. Y'all should have been around when Jordan was playing, amen. Because when Jordan was playing, and I didn't even like Jordan. I wore his shoes. But I didn't really like Jordan because I liked to pull for the underdog. And it didn't matter. I mean, I pulled for Barkley and Kevin Johnson to beat him. The Phoenix Suns, never happened. Poor Barkley, the round mound to rebound, you know. And then I pulled for Utah, Stockton and Malone to beat him. And it every time, I don't care if it was game six, game seven, if Michael Jordan had the ball in his hands, it didn't matter how far they were behind. Somehow, if you were pulling against them, you were anxious. Because you knew if Jordan had the ball, they were going to win. And that's just the way he was. He knew how to get in the zone. And I don't think there's anything wrong with us as Christians finding out where that zone is, where that blessing is. God wants to bless you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. This is, I know we've talked about, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Yes, that flesh has to die. But once that flesh dies, my friend, that doesn't mean you have to live a depressed and miserable life. God wants to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to heal you. He wants to use you. And He wants you to be in the zone. And so Psalm 37:4 says, He'll give us the desires of our heart. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things, everybody say all things, to enjoy. You know, we need to understand that it's not a sin to have money. And I don't have any, but if I ever get any, I'm not going to feel guilty about it, amen? I'm thankful for what I do have, and I have some things that other people don't. And if you live in a house or even have a car, you're in the 10% of the most wealthiest people in the world, so we ought to be grateful. But we live in a society today where if a Christian or someone serving God has money, that the media scrutinizes them, and they get up and read off a teleprompter every day and make $3 million. But a man of God who's preaching and who's built a great church with thousands of people helping homeless and helping people on drugs, I mean, they'll criticize men of, or women of God. Now, I don't know, but I believe that this is a real calling to be in ministry. And if somebody's getting paid and God's and a church takes care of somebody and there's some bad stuff going on, I serve a God that'll shout that from the rooftop, amen? If someone's not right or not handling their finances right, then God's going to expose that. Don't you understand? That's not our job. But I do believe that it's okay to be blessed. If God's blessed your business and you want to go buy a Cadillac, bless God, buy a Cadillac. Amen. If you like to fish and you can afford a boat, bless God, buy a boat. Ooh, it's getting quiet in here. If you like good clothes, buy good clothes. I'm serious. God wants you to, it says, listen, what does it say? Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Why is it in church we act like we're, you know, in a monastery and we have to go without food and go without clothes for God to bless us? Friend, that's not true. He died on that cross. He paid our penalty so that we could be blessed. If God has given you the resources to do something, do it. So don't feel guilty about having things. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you what else. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Covetousness. That means that money is your God. What you can get is your God. It means that you'll go to any length to stack your bank account. You'll hurt people. You'll cheat people. You worship your money. You worship your material things. You worship that stuff. And let me tell you something this morning. If you worship material things more than you worship the Almighty God, then friend, you're in sin, and you need to lay some stuff. And let me tell you another thing. I do believe God gives us all things to richly enjoy, but let me tell you this, if you're not tithing, if you're not giving to the body, to Jesus, if you're not giving, and you're out and you're buying a boat and you haven't tithed, friend, you're in sin. If you haven't given to the body of Christ, see, there's a difference in a man that God has blessed, who's bought a boat, but he gives 10% of his income every month. He serves God, and God has blessed him in abundance, and he's allowed him to enjoy some things. If you haven't had the opportunity, friend, maybe it's because you haven't given. Not popular, but true. Not popular, but true. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Should you be miserable every day? Did Jesus Christ die a death on the cross for you to live in misery? No. Enjoy your life. High school graduates, Don't enjoy it too much in college, amen. Some of us enjoyed it too much and it can get you in trouble. But enjoy your life. Learn things. Meet people. You high school graduates, you're right at the beginning. You're having fun now and you don't even have it in perspective. But let me tell you something. The decisions you make within the next 4 years will define you. They really will. So you need to pray about the decisions you make. Listen to me now. I'm not that much older than you. 10 or 12 years, and I can tell you the decision. I have people who died right after high school that were close to me. Let me tell you something. The decisions you make now, they will affect the rest of your life. Whether it's a business decision, a college decision, the girls or guys you date, you better watch what you're doing. You better watch what you're doing. But a couple of things I want to tell you this morning. Number one, you are an heir. If you know Jesus Christ, you're an heir. You are an heir to the abundant life. You're an heir to the abundant life. You become part of a family. Amen. Isn't that good news? You become part of the family. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You are a part of a new race and of a new family. Amen? Amen. Isn't that good? Yeah. That we are all blended into one in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:15, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." Thus making peace. Do you have peace this morning? Are you a part of the one new man? Many believe it's the church in Israel is the one new man. I know that's what my father believes. But are you a part of this body of Jesus Christ? You need to be a part. If you're not saved, if you're not a part of a church, if you're not giving, friend, then you're falling short. And if you don't have happiness, if you don't have peace, it's probably because you're not a part of the one new man. But you're an heir. Next, you've been transferred into a new family, but you've been transferred into a new kingdom. A new kingdom. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's what he told Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Born anew. Born again. You must be born into this family. Friend, you can't join it. You can't write it on a statement. You can't pledge it. You can't salute it. Friend, you have to be born into it. Amen. See, you can be born into a hellacious mess on earth. You can be born into a family of drug addicts. You can be born into a family of alcoholics. You can be born into illness. You can be born into depression, mental illness. You can be born into a lot of things. But that doesn't have to last. Amen. That doesn't have to be your period on the end of the sentence. Hallelujah. You born into a new kingdom and into a new family this morning if you want to be. Amen. That means if you're content with what you were born into, that's great, but you need to be born anew into the family of God, and you need to understand that you are an heir to the throne. Hallelujah. But there's an allotment from on high, and it has to do with the kingdom. It has to do with the family. It also has to do with being delivered from the old and being brought into the new. Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." Isn't that good? That's the kind of kingdom I want to be a part of. We're also heirs of God. You're heirs of a family. You're heirs of the kingdom, but you're heirs of God. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together." You are an heir. Let me talk to you about your inheritance. your covenant inheritance. Jesus Christ has called us to an eternal inheritance. Amen. How many of you know what an inheritance is? That means you receive something one day. Amen. That means somebody's left you something. Hallelujah. That means you could be as poor as dirt, but if you had a great-grandmother that had some money backed away, and when she passes or goes on, amen, she might have left you something. Amen. You might have a trust fund coming to you. Amen. But there's an allotment, a lot from on high. God has left you an inheritance. Are you aware of that this morning? That God has left you an inheritance. You're not attached to Satan's world, the tyranny of his dominion. God has left you an inheritance. Things to richly enjoy. And I'm going to give you seven things in just a moment that God has left you to enjoy, that will help manage your life. Hebrews 9:15, and for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant. It's a covenant inheritance, amen. By means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, Adam, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. You have access to the inheritance that God has left you if you're saved. Do you know that? That you have access to the inheritance, you have access to the money, you have access to the joy, you have access to the wisdom, you have access to that dimension where God can bless you. Ecclesiastes 7:11 speaks of wisdom. It says, wisdom is good with an inheritance and profitable to those who see the sun. Wisdom is necessary if you're going to use your inheritance. You know, how many multimillionaires, especially people in business, are in foreclosure or have filed bankruptcy. I mean, if you're going to receive an inheritance from God, if he's left us an inheritance, if he's given us his management tools so that we can live our life and be successful, then why is it that we would go about it and not with the wrong wisdom? You need to have spiritual wisdom and guidance so that you don't blow your inheritance. Amen? You don't want to be like the prodigal that blew his inheritance, that asked for it, blew it, and came crawling back. God speaks to us and tells us how we can take the inheritance that he's left for us, the things that we can enjoy, we can invest those so that we can have a blessed life, our kids can be blessed, our grandkids can be blessed, their kids can be blessed. Amen? There is a method that God has given us, and there's basic principles this morning that God wants to teach us about our inheritance. God, first of all, is your portion. Your inheritance, first of all, is God himself. It's God. Everything that you need, everything that you've ever asked for, everything that you'll ever need or ever will ask for comes from an almighty God. Amen? It comes from on high. And if you think that your peace or your joy or your resources comes from the business world or comes from people or comes from what the man on your left or your right or comes from some kind of luck like scratching off a lottery ticket, friend, it doesn't come from there. It comes from God. And you must understand this morning that your source, first and foremost, is God himself. Psalm 16:5 says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. Wisdom in Scripture is knowing what to do. How many of you say, Pastor Ronnie, this morning, I'd like to know what to do. I'd like to know, I have some money, I'd like to know what to do with it. I'd like to know where to invest it. I'd like to know how to expand my business. I'd like to know how to get a better job. I'd like to know how to buy an automobile. I'd like wisdom this morning. Would you like wisdom? I know that I would. I've got some things I need some heavenly insight about. We need to understand that our wisdom comes from God. It actually begins with the fear of God. If you don't care about anything I'm saying this morning, if you don't fear God, if the thought of God, then all I can tell you is you're stupid. I'm serious. If you don't fear God and you're not listening to what I'm saying and it's not important to you, then you don't even have the beginning stages of knowledge. Because the Bible said it starts with the fear of God. Ephesians 1, verse 11. In him also we have obtained a what? An inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be able to praise to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You need to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. Who is the guarantee, somebody say guarantee, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. The inheritance comes with the filling and endowment of the Holy Spirit. It begins with God Himself, but next it comes with being filled, being strengthened, being used, being motivated by the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, many people think, they try to characterize the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost as one expression, you know, the expression or emotion of something that God has done during an invitation or a way a pastor ministers or lays hands on or what how someone prays in their private life. Or and really, all those things are relevant, but the Holy Spirit is that Spirit that lives inside you, that gives you wisdom and counsel. It's the reason that people that may not have the same level of education as others, but man, if you're walking with the Holy Ghost and He's giving you wisdom and He's ordering your steps, friend, there's a peace that comes from that. That means that you have more intelligence than someone with a PhD that doesn't believe in God, because, friend, you have someone on the inside of you that's making the decisions, that's leading your path. There are some Spirit-filled people that I've never seen express themselves in worship, but that they have knowledge. They make savvy decisions. They bathe every decision they make in prayer. They still have the Holy Spirit within them. It's not how someone expresses it on the outside. It's what happens on the inside. Let's look at God's management for our life. I want to give you seven gifts of God's wisdom, seven benefits, quickly, of your inheritance this morning. Number one, God orders your steps. God orders your steps. Psalm 16:5, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. God orders your steps. If you want to tap into your inheritance, then understand that God will tell you what to do when it's time for you to do it. We need to quit questioning God like Job, and we need to begin to understand that if we'll listen, if we'll stand still and consider the wondrous works of God, He will speak to you. He will order your steps. He will tell you exactly what to do when you need to do it. I know that Sonny's praying about some of his treatments, and we're praying with you, Sonny. I want you to know that. But I know that God will give this man the right answer and wisdom of what he needs to do for his treatment. No doubt about it. God will give you, those of you that have graduated, that are deciding where you're going to go in business, what you want to do with your life, God, if you walk with God and you pray with Him and you spend time with Him in the secret place, He will tell you what to do. He will show you. I promise you that. God will order your steps. Next, and we've touched on this a little bit, God will give you good things. God will give you good things. Psalm 16:6, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Psalm 16:6, let me read that again. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. You know, Jesus didn't die for a bad inheritance. Amen. You have a good inheritance. You have good things. You need to give praise and give honor to the God that's given you what you have. But you also need to understand that you're not limited to what this world has said about you, what society has done to you. Friend, you have an inheritance from on high, from God Almighty, and you can tap into that and receive good things. You can have the same gifts that other people have. Number three, God gives counsel through dreams and visions. Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. If you can't sleep at night, why don't you open your Bible? Why don't you pray with God? If you know, I have people tell me about all these dreams and they don't bathe them in prayer. God will speak to you during the night seasons. You will have dreams. Some of you, all of us don't have a gift. God won't speak to all of us that way, but there are some of you that God may be speaking to you through your dreams. Open your heart, open your mind, understand that you may be getting a download from on high. God will speak to you during the night seasons as a part of your inheritance. Number four, an awareness of His continual presence. As part of your allotment, as part of that wisdom that God gives you, there's an awareness that God is with you always. I've set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. An awareness of His continual presence. Aren't you glad God's with you? That He'll never leave you? That He can walk beside you all the way home? Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Number five. Your inheritance and the wisdom that only God can give will remove fleshly anxiety. Fleshly anxiety. Psalm 16:9, the psalmist says, therefore my heart is glad. Somebody say glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. You see, anxiety is always wondering what's around the corner, isn't it? It's always wondering about, you're always uncertain about what's going to happen. You're wondering, well, you know, I wonder what's going to happen, or I don't feel comfortable, I get jittery, or and 60-something percent of America has anxiety or depression. Isn't that bad? But I want to speak over you. If you struggle with that this morning, I speak that your flesh will rest in hope, in the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where we need to rest. Our flesh needs to rest in the hope of the Lord. God, this thing, do you understand? About what I read to you earlier about the predestiny, the predestination of God. If you can tap into that, God's going to bless you here on earth. But friend, He's already won. We're just a vapor. And that's why I just want you to be blessed this morning. I'm not trying to manipulate you, friend. I know that we're only here for a little while. I want you to enjoy your life. I want you to be blessed. But I also want you to tap into God's inheritance that He has for you on earth. I want you to enjoy your life. I want you to let God use you. Don't act like you're chained to something miserable. Amen? You're a part of something magnificent and wonderful. And you have untapped potential. And there is an allotment of resources that you haven't even tapped into yet. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Next, clear direction, and this is for our graduates this morning, clear directions for the abundant life, Psalm 16, verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. God will show you the path of life that you should take. If you're tapped into Him and you're praying and you're seeking Him, and you're not, you know, and I don't mean selfishly, amen. Some of us seek God selfishly, and we seek Him, and we tell God how it ought to be, and then we ask if He'll just check mark that. God, this is what I think. Now, will you approve it? We do that. Maybe not in those exact words, but we do that. We go to God, and we tell Him the way we think it ought to be. No, we need to go to God just to go to God, just to spend time with Him, to love Him, and we need to let His will be done. Amen? And I promise you, if you'll just love on God and spend some time with Him, He will show you what you need to do, when you need to do it. Clear directions. Number seven, this is my last point to you this morning, and we'll close with this. Fills us with joy and pleasure. You remember the first week we talked about your alignment from on high, and we talked about Paul and how he had joy even though he was chained to a guard 24 hours a day, and how being in line with God means having joy when there's uncertain circumstances. And then we talked about your assignment. We talked about having purpose, didn't we? Having purpose. There's something about having a purpose. Everybody needs something to love, something to do, something to give, and something to leave behind. And this morning, our theme really has been wisdom, spiritual and infinite wisdom. Let me tell you something. There's joy that comes from being in line with God. There is purpose with knowing Jesus and serving Jesus. But let me tell you something. There is wisdom when you walk with His Spirit. And if you're not walking in spirit this morning, if you're not praying, if you haven't opened your heart and mind to the spiritual things of God, friend, you're missing out on your inheritance. But it fills us with joy and pleasure. Psalm 11, in your presence is what? Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasure, good things, spiritual wisdom, the know-how, the know-when. Trust God to guide your every step from this day forward. Let us bow our head and close our eyes.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.